When I reached the peak of my backward, downward motion, I started to sway back up again. When I reached my body again, I made an effort to get away, but I got stuck to the body instead. I was fully conscious, glued tightly to my body, and amazed that my consciousness was so perfectly clear. Strangely enough, I could see all right. I had the astral equivalent of physical sight. I freed my astral arms, reached behind me, and tried to push myself away from my body. As I pushed, I felt my astral body being stretched from behind. I felt just like a cracker stuck in a vat of very thick honey. I felt millions of tiny streamers or ribbons attached to the two bodies, not with my hands, I just felt them there. Well, I gave it my best effort to get free, but I re-entered my body after about 15 seconds. So I came to, and thought it was the end. I rationalized that I couldn't do it again, because I was fully awake. But my stubborn side demanded that I try it again. So I got comfortable, and looked for the vibrations. They came immediately, and I used the same method to get out again. I wasn't stuck to the body this time. I sat up with no problem, again with a good sense of sight. I looked around and thought, wow, I'm really conscious. I've never been this conscious before. Not even in waking life. Now I'm going to do some experiments I've been meaning to do. The first experiment that came to mind was to test how sound worked. So I said something like, hello? Testing 1, 2, 3. Although I formed the words with my astral lips and used my astral vocal cords, no sound came out. I faintly heard a tiny voice in the background, but it was too muffled to understand. Perhaps the problem was merely my brain's interpretation of the sound. Anyway, I looked around and noticed how things looked different in an out-of-body experience. In the past, I often saw gray clouds during an out-of-body experience. But now I examined my sight more closely. I saw a few places where astral matter was just sitting in small bunches. And as I looked around the room, I noticed that everything was normal, except now I could see different types of glows around everything. It was as if everything in my room had an aura of its own, which glowed a little differently from any other thing. I also noticed that in some places there seemed to be blots, or places where the aura was either black or covered up by a blackness. Then I thought to myself, this is foolish. I am wasting my time. I, 44, should go at once to LD's house for purposes of verifying the reality of this experience. But then I blacked out again and once more woke up immediately in my body. Once again my analytical self said no, but I was too stubborn to give up. I repeated the method, the vibrations came again, and I was ready for another excursion. When I got out, I was about 1 foot above my body. I sat up. I knew what I wanted to do, get to LD's house. I thought to myself, there are two possible routes I could take. Through the back door or out through my window. Heard the back door open and shut, so I directed my attention to it. My astral vision opened up and I saw my mom coming in the house. I also noticed the clock in the kitchen, but it was too blurry to see the time. It was more like second sight or clairvoyant vision than physical sight. I thought, I better not go through the back door. There is too much risk of being distracted. I better try the window. So I looked at the window sill, then tried to go to it by pulling the image toward me. The image of the window did come to me, but when I looked again, I was still no closer to it. I tried to look at it closer. At once my eyes tried to be like a zoom lens on a camera. But instead of my eyes magnifying what I saw, I moved closer to it in a gliding motion. I only glided 1 foot closer when I came to a stop. I tried to do it again, and it worked a tiny bit. Then I was about 2 feet away from the window sill. I thought, enough of this moving with my mind nonsense. I got up on my knees, then stood up, preparing to step through the window. I decided to keep my eyes open so that nothing could go wrong. As I stepped through the glass window pane, my consciousness dimmed considerably. At once everything seemed strange. I was outside, but it looked so strange that I couldn't tell where I was. I looked around and saw images, possibly from an oncoming dream. I couldn't even tell whether I was on the first floor or on a second story. I recognized things, but everything seemed out of place. I saw toys, furniture and other objects. I twisted around and saw that I was outside, to the north of our kitchen, and one story up. I became confused and eventually blacked out. I remember thinking, I don't want to enter a dream now. I woke up fully conscious in my body again. I got comfortable and tried again. I immediately got the vibrations again as soon as I thought about them. Instead of flinging myself backward, I just flung myself forward and sat up in the astral body with no trouble. I thought, almost every book I have on astral projection says that you can travel to a person instantly by thinking about them. I'm going to try it again. So I closed my eyes and visualized Aldi perfectly in every detail. I just sat there and visualized and nothing happened. I thought at first that my visualization wasn't good enough. But I visualized her perfectly in every detail. I opened my eyes and I was still in bed sitting up in my astral body. I thought, this is getting me nowhere. I started to think about LD, hoping this would work better than visualizing her. Still no results. Then I blacked out for maybe half of a minute. Then I woke up in my body again and knew it was over. This entry shows another unsuccessful attempt at travel. 45, the 4th of October 1982 Saturday, out of body experience number 70, one couldn't see my arm, so I figured that I must be out of my body. But just to make sure, I reached my right arm down through my bed. When my arm went through the physical bed again, I knew I wasn't physical. I swung my legs around, pulled away, and stood up. I tried to walk but couldn't. I was standing about 4 feet from my bedroom door, with my arms outstretched toward it. As much as I tried to get away, I didn't move an inch. I thought, my only hope is to think of LD and maybe I will be transported there. I closed my eyes and thought of LD. Nothing happened, so I visualized LD. Again, nothing happened. I thought of her personality. No movement. I imagined how I feel when I'm with her. Still no movement. None of this worked at all. I felt another quick motion, and I felt myself become physical again. I was totally back in my body again. A few times I could think myself to another location, but these had unpredictable results. The 7th of October 1982 Saturday, out of body experience number 79, closed my astral eyes and started thinking about LD. I opened them again and nothing had changed. I decided to try to visualize LD instead. I closed my eyes, and visualized LD. LD, I mentally called. I opened my eyes and looked around. I was not in the same place. I didn't see LD either. I had no idea where I was. I was so overwhelmed by the change of scenery without any physical sensations, that I lost all consciousness. The 25th of March 1984 Sunday, out of body experience number 105, launched myself straight up in the air. I thought about LD and in a split second, it seemed as if my consciousness blurred and instead of flying, I was transported somewhere at a blinding speed. That confused me, and I thought for a second, no. I want to fly either. I felt LD's presence for a second. But my confusion sent me back to my body again instantly. The 11th of October 1985 Sunday, out of body experience number 118, pulled out and up so that I was in a squatting position near my body's right arm, about a foot up from the body. I knew right away what I wanted to do. I had read almost all of Robert Munro's book, Far Journeys. So the first thing I wanted to try was to contact my guides, a process that Munro calls, ident inspect. The first thing I tried was saying aloud, ident inspect, but nothing happened. Then I tried thinking, ident inspect, and nothing happened. Then I heard the Frieder Endly thoughts of another person. It was a 30-year-old man's voice, and it said, what are you trying to do? I looked around, but I couldn't see anybody. I replied, I'm trying to contact my guides. The other voice said, oh, but I don't inspect? I felt very foolish and laughed. I must have looked pretty foolish trying to contact my guides by saying or thinking the words I had read in a book. especially since the words were just the author's attempt at describing an indescribable astral experience, and especially since I was so, 46, incompetent at using my mind as transportation. "Never mind," I said, "it's from a book I read." Then I tried to pull myself toward the ident inspect instead of thinking about it, but I lost all consciousness. The next thing I knew, I came to in my body a couple of hours later. To people who live without bodies, we must seem like simplistic children. When we are out of the body, we must be willing to try new things, learn from our mistakes, and not be afraid or embarrassed to ask for help. Above all, we should be able to laugh at ourselves. Exercise 11, falling in a well. As always, get into a comfortable position and close your eyes. Relax as completely as you can, then visualize that you are looking down a very deep well. Next, pretend you fall in, head first. As you fall, watch the bottom of the well getting closer. Try to imagine the sensation of falling as real as possible. Feel the gravity pulling you toward the bottom. Get caught up in the feeling. If this works, you may be zapped into your astral body. If this doesn't work the first time, repeat the visualization several times until your visualization seems almost real. 47, Chapter 12, Flight School. After reading so many books on out-of-body experiences, I had great enthusiasm about astral travel. After all, why hop a plane to the coast, when you can hop the astral plane to the ghost? But I tried everything I knew to travel with the thought, but nothing seemed to work. Perhaps my expectations had been too great. Perhaps science had been too deeply ingrained in me, and a part of me still believed traveling had to be more complex than thinking. Whatever the reason, I decided to take a different approach to out-of-body transportation. Instead of trying to use my mind to teleport myself, I decided to fly the Frida Endless Skies. My first attempt at flight wasn't too disastrous, but not too coordinated either. The 27th of January 1981, Tuesday, out-of-body experience number 32, some unknown time in the night I woke up out of my body. I could not see in the physical sense of the word, yet I knew where I was in our back alley, and I knew I was projecting. I thought, where should I go? And immediately decided to edge without hesitation. I had decided this before I went to bed. So I took a running leap and started off in the air. I rose above the houses quickly and was shaky for a while. I remembered many flying dreams in which I have crashed. But I decided that if I controlled my mind, I would be all right. I flew higher and higher, and was touched by a little fear. I was afraid to fly too high. So I made effort to keep myself low enough for my own comfort. I could see the roofs of houses, the trees, and everything. When I first went up, I realized I wasn't seeing physically, so I thought, I should see. Then I saw everything okay. I saw my arms raised in front of me Superman style. I started to climb too high for comfort and I became afraid of getting too far away from Earth. With that thought, I started getting lower and lower. I descended very quickly until I was forced to land. I landed okay in some street, on the slope of a hill. I thought, now I'll never get there. The next thing I knew, I was dreaming again. Nobody ever taught me how to fly, so I was proud of my first attempt. My next attempts were just as awkward, if not more so. The 5th of August 1982, Saturday, out of body experience number 72. Walked through the door and outside. It was bright and sunny outside. There, change was striking to me, since the room in which my body was sleeping was dark. The sunlight didn't hurt my eyes, it just seemed very clear and bright out. I thought, now where should I go to take off on a flight? I looked up and I saw the branches of our hackberry tree. I walked along our sidewalk toward the west. I went to our front yard, and I stopped and faced the east, where our backyard is. I looked all around. I was very embarrassed to be out in the public where everyone could see me while about to take a flying leap in the air in an attempt to fly. I knew that I couldn't be seen by anyone, but still I hesitated, dreading the possibility that I might be seen. Such a flying attempt would look pretty silly for a physical person. I took a few quick steps toward the east and I leapt forward into a good flying position. For a second or two I was completely weightless and I glided in midair for a few feet. But then I stumbled and fell. I caught myself before I fell on my face. I decided to try again. This time I walked further west until I was on the front sidewalk outside our house. I ran about 5 feet toward the south, this time away from my house, and I took a flying leap into the air, after looking around for neighbors who could see. I fell flat on my face again. It didn't hurt because I was not physical, and so I picked myself back up. I decided to walk to our backyard, east, and try to fly, the once. I walked about 10 feet or so and I blacked out without any warning. The 7th of February 1982 Friday, out of body experience number 77, early this morning I was dreaming. I dreamed that I was talking to someone about astral projection. After the conversation ended, and I was back inside my bedroom, I said to myself, still in a dream state, that's an excellent idea, I think I'll project. So in the dream, I stood up and went outside. I walked to the place just behind east of my house and I woke up there out of my body. I realized my condition, and I was surprised, but I stayed in perfect control of my emotions. The dream had prepared me to be calm for the upcoming out-of-body experience. I was standing outside, facing east. I thought about recent failures with astral levitation, but I said calmly to myself, it's worth a try. With an act of will, I started rising through the air, straight up, in an upright position, standing. It startled me but I told myself, stay calm, it's no biggie. I'm going to go for a nice, simple flying lesson. I'm not going to try for a big adventure. I waited until I was about 15 feet in the air, then I said, okay, that's high enough for now. The thought that I might not stop rising did cross my mind, and it caused me to rise a bit further, but I said to myself, it's okay. Nothing bad can happen. I can't be harmed. I'm in control. So I stopped in midair. I totally relaxed my astral body so I couldn't even feel and I propelled myself forward through the air toward the east with a mere thought properly placed. I was slowly moving, flying, toward the east in a comfortable position. I thought, I'm totally relaxed. This is a great bodily position to be in for flying. Then I looked down at my astral body, and I saw I was almost upright. My arms were hanging down, my head was forward, and I was leaning forward about 30 degrees. My legs were relaxed and naturally bent about 45 degrees. The position I was in was almost exactly that of a 10-speed bicycle rider, except I was more upright and my arms were relaxed by my side. I wasn't too steady in my flying. I bobbed up and down, left and right, trying to correct my direction of flight. I was moving slightly faster now, and the ash tree in my yard was straight ahead of me. I tried to steer around it, but I could not. I wasn't practiced enough at flying. I was just about to hit the tree, when I wiggled my torso to the left, north, and my head managed to miss hitting the tree. The rest of my body hit the tree, and much to my surprise it bent around the tree, and slithered around it elastically like a snake overcomes an obstacle. Phew. After that, there was nothing in my way. I started flying a little faster, and I purposely climbed higher and higher. I climbed to about 400 feet. Then I descended back to about 200 feet, so that I could see the scenery more closely. I looked down without any panic at all. I noticed that I could see everything well, equally well as in the body, and very clearly. But I saw there was no sunday, and I felt it was dark out. I could see fine, however, and everything appeared in a pale, almost gray light. It was like seeing a picture from an infrared camera. I glided softly, somewhat slowly over the houses, eyeing the details of the neighborhood houses. I kept a close eye on all the details of everything as I moved, and I verified that I once again was in a real, waking situation. The details didn't change, nor did my speed, and the tremendous detail I saw around me assured me I was seeing reality and not a dream. I reasoned that, 1. In dreams I notice very few details, only those that are necessary to the immediate story unfolding around me. This wasn't a dream. Besides, I was fully awake and conscious. 2. Even in ordinary reality, we screen out and ignore most of the details of our surroundings. So I knew I was experiencing reality with more clarity than normal in the body life. 3. Since what I saw didn't change, I was looking for changes. I knew my eyesight was at least normal, and that I wasn't dreaming. Dreams have a bad habit of changing the scenery to produce certain situations and emotions. 4. I verified and studied the details I saw below. The details were all the same as waking life. I flew to the east about 3 city blocks. I looked to the north, and I saw a man come out of a house that was on the north side of Lowry Avenue. He stood and looked at me, up in the air. So I brought myself softly down across the street, on the south side of Lowry, also to the west. I was now kitty corner to where he was standing. He walked across the street toward me, and he came up to me. Just as he began to speak, I lost consciousness and entered the dreamlike semi-conscious state. In this state the man and I exchanged a few words, and I lost consciousness. The man was about 30 years old, with short brown, wavy hair, very fried andly, with kind eyes. He wore casual clothes. He was a little taller than me, perhaps 6 feet tall. I can't remember anything we said while I was in the dreamlike semi-conscious state. This out-of-body experience brings up a very important question. What's the difference between a lucid dream and an out-of-body experience? I do believe that occasionally people confuse one experience for the other. It's very difficult to tell the difference in some cases. Some people believe OBs are poorly developed lucid dreams. Others believe lucid dreams are poorly developed OBs. A comparison of the two experiences is given in Chapter 6 of With the A's of the Mind, an empirical analysis of out-of-body states, by Gabadon Twemlow, 1984. The authors found the following differences between OBs and lucid dreams. Lucid dreams occur in 50% to 70% of the population, whereas OBs occur in 14% to 25% of the population. There are two types of lucid dream. The first type occurs during REM sleep, and they are known as dream-initiated lucid dreams, DILDs. The second type occurs at the beginning phases of sleep, and they are called wake-initiated lucid dreams, WILDs. Both types of lucid dreams occur only during sleep or the onslaught of sleep. Typical OBs are initiated from a waking state, much like WILDs are, but some OBs unexpectedly occur from a waking state. Several people have reported OBs during which they have unexpectedly fallen out of their body from total consciousness, as described in Chapter 9. Some of these occur when the physical body is active, such as walking down the street. Lucid dreamers can consciously program their dream, whereas OBers are usually passive observers. Lucid dreamers have an integrated body image, whereas OBers view themselves as separated from the physical body, which is inert and thoughtless. Lucid dreamers have consciousness that is vivid, even mystical, whereas OBers experience a more normal form of consciousness. Lucid dreamers view their experience as a production of their mind, whereas OBers view the experience as objective reality. Lucid dreamers have brain waves typical of dreaming, whereas OBers don't exhibit dream-like brain waves. Lucid dreamers have rapid eye movements, REMs, whereas they are not observed during an out-of-body experience. Lucid dreamers don't typically see their physical body, but OBers usually do. In addition, the authors felt that fewer lucid dreams have a lasting positive lasting impact on the subject, whereas OBs usually a highly positive lasting impact. In a lucid dream, typically one does not dream about being in one's bedroom, as is common in the out-of-body state. After a lucid dream, the subject accepts the unreality of the lucid dream after awakening. After an out-of-body experience, the subject usually asserts emphatically that the experience was real. Many lucid dreams contain sexual content. In fact, author Patricia Garfield indicates that fully 2/3 of her lucid dreams have sexual content. Lucid dream sex is convincingly real. It feels the same as real sex. OBs, however, rarely have sexual content. When OBers report having astral sex, The experience is not anything like physical sex. It's more like an ecstatic mind trip, a transfer of energy, or a euphoria, but it doesn't feel like physical sex. Lucid dreams, like normal dreams, are not easily remembered, unless one is conditioned. Memory is a key factor of having lucid dreams. OBEs, however, are usually remembered vividly for years, without prior conditioning. Also, an out-of-body experience is a typical feature of a near-death experience, NDE. One can hardly think that lucid dreams occur during an NDE, especially because the physical body doesn't spontaneously go into REM sleep during an NDE. Perhaps the most convincing argument is this: I've had lucid dreams in which I had complete control, then dispelled the dream only to wake up in an out-of-body state. When this happens, I've noticed that the scenery in a lucid dream seems artificial, unlike out-of-body experience scenery. It's even possible to change the scenery with your mind. Here is an example: the 17th of May 1986, Saturday, out-of-body experience number 126. This morning I was in the beginning of a dream in which I found myself walking through the hallways of the hospital, and there were other people in the hallways. I realized I was dreaming, and became lucid. First, I wanted to play with the lucid dream state for a little while, so I started gliding through the hallway. Then I levitated my feet and began to fly down the hospital corridor at a good speed. The hallway ended, but instead of hitting the wall, I decided to change my focus and create a tunnel that I could fly down. With an act of will, a hole appeared in the wall ahead, and a tunnel formed. The hospital scene slowly blended into a tunnel scene, the hallway becoming the tunnel. In real life, a tunnel of this size, without lights, would appear to be darker toward the end of the tunnel. The dream tunnel I created didn't seem to end, and it appeared lighter in the back and darker in the front. There was a strange kind of grayish light, almost like a fog, that obscured where the end of the tunnel. I started flying down the tunnel at a great speed, but I knew it was an illusion. I got bored with flying, so I slowed myself down, lowered my feet and focused myself back in the hospital. I was in the same hallway. I turned and started floating myself back down the hallway in the opposite direction, turned left, and down toward the main desk. Then I stopped completely and decided that I didn't want the illusion of the dream anymore. I closed my eyes, to unfocus from the dream. The dream scenery melted away and my vision went black. I was floating out of my body. Then I decided to have some fun, and I started flying wildly in all directions, doing loop-the-loops and having a ball. I turned about 20 loops of great size, just like a jet airplane, but I was unable to open my eyes for some unknown reason. Still, the sensation of flying was a blast. I was having great fun flying so freely, and I decided to try an experiment. I decided to try to fly to the Sunday. I stopped and stood straight up. I reached up over my head with an imaginary line of force, and I kept reaching, trying to touch the Sunday with my line of force. When I decided that my line of force had reached the surface of the Sunday, I tried to feel what it was like at the end of their line. It really didn't feel any different, just a little denser. That's the only way I can describe it. Then I started pulling myself straight up, along that line of force, toward the Sunday. I accelerated tremendously toward the Sunday, until I was traveling what I felt to be near the speed of light. After about 3 minutes of this tremendous speed, I still didn't feel any change, so I stopped and I tried to see where I was, but I wasn't able to see anything. With that, I blacked out and woke up inside my body. If I had remembered any astronomy from my childhood, I would have known it takes more than 8 minutes traveling at the speed of light to reach the Sunday. And I might not have been traveling at the speed of light. The difference between the out-of-body experience and the lucid dream is not always apparent. I guess you'll have to rely on your own sense of real and not real to decide this for yourself. One thing is for sure: more scientific study is needed. It is premature to jump to the conclusion that OBEs are actually variant interpretations of lucid dreams as proposed by Stephen Laberge in Chapter 9 of his excellent book Lucid Dreaming. Exercise 12, Lucid Dreaming. Many out-of-body experience experts say that some part of our psyche is already familiar with the out-of-body experience. Many books claim that every night, some part of our psyche leaves our physical body and goes about work of its own.